We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the clock is ticking. Blonde Bomber as well as, there he is. Oh, big Santiago in the building. Chris Santiago is in the building.
What up?
As T-Mill is out. And by the way, as he slides into that chair, Tyler is out, but best bets are still alive because you got Santiago's best bets tonight, baby. And boy, you got to live up. All right. He was better yesterday. He was 3-2 yesterday. I tried to tell him about Carl Anthony Towns, although I agreed with it. He was off on that, but he was 3-2. He's not been bad. He's over 60% for the week, so you've got to continue that. And Chris Santiago's got his best bet, so he's going to pick that thing up and make you a little money as well to try to keep this thing above 50%. So stay tuned for that. But here is the latest first. 5 o'clock fire is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. And the big thing here, we'll get to the Rockets here in a bit as they get back on the court tonight. But the Texans' offensive coordinator search continues, and they interviewed Nick Cayley today and Bill Lazor today as well. But they have requested to interview Washington Commanders assistant head coach and offensive pass game coordinator Brian Johnson, Baytown native, who has been an offensive coordinator in the league before with the Eagles. If you remember, when Shane Steichen left to take the Colts job last year, he became the Eagles coach, but he was fired after one season as their offense took some steps back and kind of collapsed there towards the end of the season. I would be honest to say, Clint and Chris, very similar things we were hearing with that, complaints from people of being predictable, not as creative, and that's happening with a far more talented football team that the Eagles had when you look at offensive line and A.J. Brown and Smith, and they didn't have Barkley, but still that was a talented group last year. Your thoughts on this one being the latest? They have another one in who has experience calling plays.
Brian Johnson is at the top of the list for me of the coordinators that have been interviewed so far. Not the guy that's long in the tooth, pelts on the wall, walk in the door, this is my offense, give me the reins, get the hell out of the way, we're going to do it my way guy. Not candidate. I mean, he may be that guy and want to be that guy. I don't think he's that candidate. This is another guy where I believe it would be a collaborative effort with Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud and Brian Johnson and the rest of the staff. I think it'd be a collaborative effort to hire his staff, whoever that would be. So again, not the guy that I expect, not the kind of candidate that I would expect the Texans to have had in mind when they fired Bobby Slowick. But this is the top of the list for me out of the guys that the Texans have absolutely interviewed. With the exception of Chip Kelly, Brian Johnson's at the top of that list. When you look at, obviously, played the game at an extremely high level. He was at Mississippi State when Dak Prescott was there. Now, that was under an offensive-minded, play-calling head coach. But Dak Prescott, he was a quarterback's coach there. He grew leaps and bounds from, like, his junior year to his senior year, mechanically and technically. He was at Houston. I digged a little more. He was at Houston in 2017, which was De'Aaron King's, first year, second year. He was not there in 2018. It was Kendall Briles that was there in 2018 when De'Aaron King was responsible for 50 touchdowns. I knew the guy, but I wasn't thinking Kendall Briles. But he spent a little time at U of H, but then he goes to Florida, and he was at Florida in 2018, 2019 as a quarterback's coach, and in 2020 he was the offensive coordinator, which I believe – that's the year when Kyle Pitts, what's my man's name, the quarterback that was there?
Trask.
Kyle Trask and that real explosive offense. that did they that win? COVID, did they, COVID year, did they no. win the SEC that
no,
year?
No, Alabama did. That was
what was that? Year. What was the monster games they played though? I remember
they played a really
shootouts.
Good game against Alabama.
Was it Alabama?
They played a good game, I think, against A&M. I think that's the only team A&M lost.
He then went to Philadelphia as a quarterback's coach when Philadelphia with Jalen Hurts when Philadelphia made that run to the first Super Bowl. He was a quarterback's coach for 2 years, and then in 2023, when Shane Steichen left for the Indianapolis Colts job, he took over as the offensive coordinator and lasted a year. The Philadelphia Eagles started 10-1. The wheels came off late in the season. I believe they finished 11-7. It was a rough ending. And my understanding of that situation is that Brian Johnson was made the scapegoat. Brian Johnson was not the problem. In fact, what I heard was that part of the rift between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni was centered around the treatment of Brian Johnson, the fact that he was made the scapegoat for that come apart that happened in Philly after starting 10-1. He's been the quarterback coach. He's been the assistant head coach, offensive pass game coordinator by title, but I think quarterback coach in Washington with Jaden Daniels, who put up a monster year. So he's worked under some impressive offensive coordinators, and he's been a part of multiple different, like, not good, but great years offensively in the league and in college. And you can argue the 1 year that he was given the reins to call plays. Again, my understanding of that situation is he got railroaded and was made the scapegoat. Make of that what you will. I think Brian Johnson, right now, Brian Johnson is the best candidate on his list.
Which is tough for me.
Oh, I agree.
if you think that, which is tough for me, because to me, I would not think that, hey, if the next OC doesn't work, that D'Amico's in trouble. I think if Brian Johnson was hired as the OC, and I'm not saying he can't work, there is absolutely the case of, hey, Brian Johnson was there in Philly. He called plays. He learned after 1 year. He learned a lot. He went to Washington, was a part of that turnaround, learned a lot, and now, bam, he's ready to come back. But I'm just saying, if that's one that better work, because you are firing Bobby Slowick for the same reasons that a year ago Brian Johnson was fired for. And Brian Johnson had a much more talented team. Brian Johnson didn't have guys that couldn't pass protect. He didn't have an issue up front with the line. He had one of the best lines in football, if not the best one, right? And there was talks about, as I said, not being or being very predictable, issues with the quarterback taking steps back from when Shane Steichen was there. Like, they went from Jalen Hurts being number two in the MVP race to them really, really struggling offensively. And again, not saying that's him, but if you fired Bobby Slowick, who was fantastic in year one, and then had a sophomore slump himself in year two, and you bring in Brian Johnson, that thing better work. Because you're firing an OC that you had in-house for 2 years to hire an OC that got fired after 1 year. And then the year after he gets fired, the team's in the Super Bowl. So, like, I mean, you have got, like, this one you better make sure is right if you go there. And I think what you said at the end there, I think he's the best one on the list. That one there is, that's a tough one. That's a tough one there.
Yeah, we've talked about it. I mean, this list leaves a lot to be desired. And I've got to lean into what I know about Brian Johnson from a quarterback development. Played a position at a high level, has developed a quarterback, been a part of some really, really explosive systems, been a part of multiple systems, different approaches. Whether you look at Jalen Hurts and what they're doing under Shane Steichen's, his guidance as OC there. You look at what he did with this year, the system he was in this year with Cliff Kingsbury. You go back to the Florida days and the Mississippi State days, and My mind went blank. The coach at Mississippi State and the coach, the head coach.
Dan Mullen.
Yeah, I mean, you got three or four different systems there that have been had a ton of success for him to ultimately pull it all together and create an offense there that fits C.J. Stroud. He's been in systems that have shown the flexibility to work with several different styles of quarterback. And so Brian Johnson is a really, really good candidate, just not the list of candidates that I thought I would see rolling through here.
We'll see. We'll see here as he, as you said, tops the list for you, Nick Caley, Jeff Nixon, OC at Syracuse, Gerard Johnson, Thad Lewis, quarterback coach with Tampa. Those are some of the names that have already been interviewed.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, after a night off, the Rockets are back as they will go on the road to face the Grizzlies.
Let's go, Rockets.
I'm telling you what, fellas, as Clint, as you said, you can't wait to watch this game. The Rockets obviously on a 5-game win streak right now as they beat the Hawks their last game. Before that, obviously, the Celtics and that big win. But they go on the road, and I think, am I right, the Grizzlies are still in the 3 spot. I think they're right behind. Right behind, about a game and a half behind them last I saw. They'll face the Grizzlies. Now, they have beaten the Grizzlies the last two times they've played, last three times they played them, but they beat them back-to-back here just recently. Home and road, they'll go to Memphis and play at FedEx tonight. And this, to me, if they get this win, you gotta believe Memphis is like, yo, I mean, we ain't gonna let these dudes just get us. What a fourth time? You gotta believe there's a little something extra at home for Memphis. They win this game, this will be a really, really big look for the Rockets. And I want to do this with everybody listening. You can text in whatever, Chris and Clint as well. The Rockets have so many guys and different dudes that can hurt you. Who do you think we're talking about tonight? Who do you think that we're coming in talking about? There's so many different guys. I feel like we could do this every night that they have a game.
Yeah.
Night is it going to be? We had Dylan Brooks just come out of nowhere and get 36. By the way, Dylan, stop cussing in these press conferences because they're going to get you for $25,000.
Who the going in?
Dylan, Amen Thompson, obviously Green, Shingun. Who do you think we're going to be talking about tonight or tomorrow with this Rockets game in Memphis?
I think it's Green's turn, man. I think it's Green. One, I know he's going to get the run to possibly be that guy. I think it's
his turn.
Can I say something about the Rockets real quick? On the note of them, Ron, in terms of how many times they beat the Grizzlies in this potential 5 straight games that they could win if they win tonight. Like, the interesting thing about the Rockets, we've talked about like how hard they play in regular season is abnormal, right? It's just I don't think it's the trend across the whole league is to play as hard. They play hard every night. I don't know that the whole, you know, it's hard to beat a team 3 times or it's, you know, I don't know if that applies. Because I think when you suffocate teams and have the ability to just keep rolling guys out there like the Rockets do, I think there's some teams that are just overwhelmed with it. And that's not in basketball, the regular season, like a guy like last night, 50-something points, the Oklahoma Thunder.
SGA.
I couldn't even think of the damn initials, right? If a guy like that goes out there and scores 50-some-odd points and that team beats you, it's like, okay, the guy got hot and it was part of it. Like, the Rockets are beating guys.
They lost that game, by the way.
They ended up losing, right? They're beating guys. They're beating teams because they just, again, throw so many dudes out there. I don't know that you can flip a switch and all of a sudden get used to that and be able to defend that. Anyway, I didn't mean to talk into your minutes right there, Chris. I know y'all you wanted more of who we're talking about. I'm going with Jalen Green.
What's up, guys? I'm Jalen Green.
Somebody on text line saying Shingun. Oh, I don't know, man.
I'm gonna go with Jalen Green because the past three games that he's played against Memphis, he's gone off. So I mean, why not one more?
And he is a guy that steps up with certain matchups, and I think Ja Morant is somebody that jumps in. Shingun, we'll see, man. Jackson's a hell of a defender.
And another thing, one of the Grizzlies players said, he was talking about the Rockets today. He said, you have to beat the best to be the best. Coming in against Houston, it's a personal because we lost our last 3 games against them, and I don't think that's acceptable. Nobody feels that way. We just have to find a way to beat them tonight.
Mm. I want to make this a Steven Adams night. You know, really get some revenge back here in,
oh, yeah.
in Memphis and get back there and get that the crowd for Steven Adams. But I'll go with a hot hand. I think we'll be talking about him in. I think we'll be talking about Thompson. I think we'll be talking about Amen Thompson. And again, he is the one that you watch, and he affects the game in so many ways. It's not just going to be the, oh, like he had 33 the other night. He affects the game in so many ways. So that's a guy that could turn around and guard Bain tonight and guard Morant. It doesn't matter. He's got the opportunity to do that against anybody. So should be a fun one, good one tonight. It looks like, as you just read that off, Chris, it looks like the Grizzlies are ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
And the Rockets, as Clint said, they play hard every night. All right, coming up, as we talked about it, this is what the Texans are going to need. There ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is what the Texans are going to need if they want to get past the spot that they've been the last couple of years. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. Shout out to Chris Santiago holding it down. As Tyler is out having a good time. Disney, he'll be here tomorrow as well on a Friday. So it'll be a good time. We're in good hands as well. Clint, the Texans, it's just really a natural thing that has to occur for teams that are taking next steps and teams that are trying to get to the next level. And that is, the big thing that can happen from within the team is guys improve and get better. Guys take steps forward, right?
Got to do it.
And you know, it can help. And I think we saw it here recently. Hell, I think Nico Collins took another step from his first year with Stroud. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just got injured. He would have blown away what he did. And you could just see it in his play that he was a better player. Will Anderson, damn sure, took another step forward from his rookie of the year. He went defensive rookie of the year to bona fide Pro Bowler, as what happened to him. Jalen Petrie took another step from the first year, the last year with Lovie Smith to the first year with, or the second year with D'Amico Ryans. He took steps forward as well and was playing at a Pro Bowl level before he got injured. You've got to have guys take steps.
Derek Stingley.
Well, yeah. Derek Stingley took a step from being the player of the month to end the season 2 years ago to maybe being a top three corner in the league. Mm-hmm. Maybe, hell, first team all pro. Yep. A top two corner in the league with Patrick Surtain. So, yes, steps forward. The Texans are going to need to have that happen again. Of course, they're going to need to do stuff in the offseason. They're going to need to probably add some spots on the offensive line, ain't gonna probably. They're gonna need to add some stuff at the offensive line, some other areas on the team. But they also are going to need growth from within, from guys that are already on the roster. We named some that grew last year to help this team get better. What are some names out there, Clint, that jump out to you that you feel like have a real chance and should take another step to help this team?
Look, there's several on the offensive side of the football. Damian Pierce, John Metchie, Cade Stover. Those are three guys that either it's time, like you've been here long enough, and it's time that you take the next step and start contributing at a bigger pace, or they're just guys that we desperately need to take the next step. I think those three, I want to mention them in a group. Now there's three more offensively, Ron, and I'm gonna save the best for last here. But it's, for me, it starts with C.J. Stroud. Like, C.J. Stroud has to be better. And I'm not even talking about a box score better. I'm not talking about a avoid pressure better. Like, to me, C.J. Stroud has to take ownership of this offense, whatever the Texans offense is going to look like post Bobby Slowick. Like, it's not his first year anymore where you got to handle him with kid gloves and you got to kind of just bring him along at his own pace. It's not year two where now you've announced to the world that you're going to try to be more explosive and stretch the field, right? It's about ownership in the offense, which to me is in the moment on the field, handling situational football, fixing problems. And again, I'm not talking about post-snap with your play. I'm talking about the line of scrimmage. You have command of the offense, whether it's going pass to run, run to pass, or it's directing the traffic up front to protect yourself as a quarterback. I just think C.J. Stroud has to improve, and I think the department where he improves the most and has the most, opportunity to improve, Ron, is in the ownership category of whatever the offense looks like in Houston next year.
He most definitely can be better.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and obviously, again, it was not all him. That the reason why it wasn't better, as you just explained, but there is most definitely, C.J. could put together a better year than that.
Well, you hope that just what they're going through right now is part of that. You hope that whatever Bobby Slowick was holding C.J. Stroud back from doing, which there was a lot of stories out there that he don't have the freedom to change the play, didn't have the freedom to change to direct the traffic up front to protect himself. Whatever was going on up there, you hope that's nipped in the bud. And if it is, the next step is, okay, C.J., we're hands off, baby. Here's the playbook. Get out there and do your thing. And I think that's paramount. If the Texans get beyond the divisional round, that's going to happen.
But I think he's a good one to have on the list because right now, I do think the number one story right now in Houston is directly, tied to what kind of CJ are you going to get?
Absolutely.
Right? Like, especially if he gets somebody they can work with. You get somebody that's a new offense and they're clashing, they're struggling.
Bobby Slowick didn't get fired because he couldn't create a consistent run game. Bobby Slowick didn't get fired because he can't score touchdowns in the second half. Bobby Slowick got fired because he couldn't protect C.J. Stroud. And for whatever reason, again, I don't know what's true with all the reports that are coming out of there, but I do believe that there was some serious friction between Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud and probably Bobby Slowick and the staff as a whole. So, Bobby's not here because he didn't protect the prized possession, the franchise, and that's C.J. Stroud. And they've got to be better. They got to be better, more C.J. Stroud-esque, and essentially give him that ownership. Yeah, so I think number two, Juice Scruggs. I think Juice Scruggs, this team has a middle of the offensive line, guard, center, guard problem right now, and I think Juice Scruggs, it's time that he steps up, and I think he has the ability to step up and fill one of those spots, whether it's guard or center, he's got the ability to do it. So I think Juice Scruggs has to be significantly better. Ron, and I saved one on that list, obviously. I left him off my list the first time, and you highlighted him, so go ahead, man. Let me know who your number one is.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Dalton Schultz. When you're just looking at areas that can improve and get better is, like, it's not even his run blocking. Although I just believe he can do better than what he did at times.
Oh, sure.
And run blocking, his pass protection. Like I just believe he can do better. But for me, it's what he was signed to do. What he was signed to do didn't hold up as well. He wasn't a great receiving threat for this team. So to me, I've seen him get better. This isn't a deal of like, hey, man, I need you to jump up to be an all-pro like Derek Stingley. I just need you to – can you jump up and be the dude that you was 16 months ago?
Well, it's interesting the way you phrase that, Ron, because I think that's the best I've heard it, right, is there's certain guys on this team, right, rookies excluded and guys on rookie contract. I'm not worried about them, right? But guys that were either brought in as a free agent or – got a new deal here in Houston. Those guys have to, like, it starts with those guys have to do what they were signed here to do at the level that the team expected them to do it. And that is Laremy Tunsil, you got to pass protect like one of the best in the league. Dalton Schultz, you have to, in the pass game, be one of the more cerebral guys, and you have got to get back to being able to create separation and be a weapon in the pass game, not just a security blanket when everybody's bailing out deep. right? Nico Collins, you gotta be the dude in the pass game right now. Like you gotta be the number one wide receiver. And what we know you can do is catch the football well, run after catch well. You're smart enough to move around and do different things. He's gotta be able to do those things. Joe Mixon to me, like he's got to be able to run the football effectively, which we saw this year. They've got to use him in the pass game, and he's got to catch the football out of the backfield more than just the screen game. Like the dudes that you signed and you brought in here, Azeez Al-Shaair, you got to do what they brought you in here to do at the middle linebacker position. Danielle Hunter on the defensive side of the football, they brought him in here to do one thing, and that's pressure quarterbacks, and he did it as well as anybody in the league. Right? Those dudes, Ron, have to do what they were signed to do. And you're right. Dalton Schultz, hell, he behind C.J. Stroud, he's the only other one that I should have put on this damn list, because he's got to be a not just a good receiver. He's got to be a weapon in the pass game.
Well, who else you got on here?
Well, I flip it over the defense side of the ball now.
Yep.
I think it's Jalen Petrie and Christian Harris.
You think – you don't – because I think there are some guys, Clint, that have – I think have – I'd say maxed. I think Titus Howard has met. I don't know that there's another step or level for Titus Howard to get to. Eric Murray, I don't know if he's coming back, but I think he's maxed. You think Jalen Petrie? You think there's another step, because he took a step from year one to year two with D'Amico big time to a Pro Bowl caliber player?
Oh yeah.
You think there's another? You don't think Jalen Petrie's maxed out?
No, I don't think he's maxed out. I think he's maxed out. Like, I think we've seen the best of Jalen Petrie as it pertains to the instincts, jumping off the field, and you know, being a weapon in the pressure game, and I've always thought he's a great tackler, but I think there was a time when people thought he couldn't tackle because he missed a couple of clutch tackles. I think he's a great tackler and a good defender of the run game kind of deal. I think, one, he can stay healthy and do those things and really highlight those things to the world, to the national, on the national scene. I think he can jump on that. He's on our scene, but I think he has the ability to jump on the national scene from that nickel defender position. And I think if you just look at his game, I think he is still, you know, his weakness over the last year, and it got better throughout the season, but his weakness early on was the coverage skills. I think he goes to work in an offseason where he is flat out working straight coverage skills, because he knows that's where, one, he knows that's where he's going to play, right? And two, he knows that's the weakness of right now of his game, and he's got to get better. I think you see a different Jalen Petrie. No question about it. There, I have zero doubt that Jalen Petrie can take his cover game to another level. From what we've seen, I mean, everything about him screened his instincts.
So you, because that's where I'm at. Like, I think Jalen Petrie is good in a Pro Bowl level. I wonder, is there another level in his coverage?
Well, I think he can. I think he can become a legit Pro Bowler, and I think that he can become a guy that when you talk slot defenders in the NFL, you talk. Like Jalen Petrie's in the conversation. I don't know that he is right now. He is in Houston, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I don't know that he is, you know, nationally when you talk about slot defenders. Now, I think it's going to look a little different in D'Amico's defense. You can't have him primarily in coverage. Like, he's not a lockdown corner. Like, some of these teams have a corner they bump inside. That's a different animal there. I don't think he's ever going to be that. But you talk about a guy that can lock up on tight ends and it is going to be, you know, in a pinch, could cover some good slot receivers and not get his ass whooped, and ultimately at the end of the year be one of the better nickel overall defend, not nickel cover guys, but overall defenders that plays down in, down out in this 11 personnel NFL world we live in now. Yeah, I think there's another step he can get to.
Yeah, one more defensive side.
Well, Christian Harris. Yeah, for me, Christian Harris. I mean,
late,
which is the blatant obvious, right?
One four games, I think.
Yeah, I mean, even like if you look last year at how good he was, like it's time, man. Like we've heard D'Amico Ryan say that this is the most talented linebacker he's ever coached, and he's had some really, really good ones, and we've seen flashes. Now, staying healthy and going out there and playing a full season in D'Amico's system with some experience, knowing the system instead of trying to learn the system. Yeah, again, another guy that if he can play at or above his ceiling and stay healthy, he's a Pro Bowler. Right? At least talent-wise, he is. So yeah, he's got to step.
What he was doing at the end of the year last year,
was
like, woo,
absolutely.
Woo, and he is. I mean, he's just there just because hell, he didn't play.
Yeah,
didn't play for a long time.
Well, that injury was weird, man.
Yeah, it was weird. Was and then deal. The finish of the season is weird. I'm in them eight plays, them eight postseason defensive snaps he got healthy. It's an interesting thing. The one I would add, and I understand the young guys, is Kalen Pulick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think, as you talked about Derek Stingley, like, I think there is a level. Kalen was playing really well anyway, and got his hands on taking the ball away multiple times. But then there was some moments, Clint, where it was like, yo, he's getting beat deep. They're confused. They've got him, or they've confused him. I think he can clean that up and take another step forward too.
I agree.
So he's won big time there, that I think can take the step forward. All right, coming up, the birthday boy. We got to discuss the birthday boy for the Rockets, as well as it ain't T-Mill's best bets tonight. Chris Santiago's what? Best bets, baby. He's going to make you some money tonight. We'll get to all that as we continue riding high right here on The Drive.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Rockets got to go on the road to face the Memphis Grizzlies. Some potential good news to help them into getting a dub tonight. Memphis point guard Ja Morant, their best player, is doubtful for this game. So the Rockets may be able to go without having to deal with Ja Morant, the engine on that team. So that is one to watch. I do want to get to, by the way, it's Amen Thompson's birthday, isn't it?
That's correct.
I want to get to him in a bit. Somebody on the text line, text in. Have the Texans made any news about the OC? The latest news is Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson is formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was their OC last year. He got fired after a season. He has been the assistant head coach, passing game coordinator with the Washington Commanders this past year, with working with Jaden Daniels and that passing game and that team that really had a resurgence. So he is the latest to have been interviewed, becoming the second person behind Bill Lazor to have OC play calling experience in the NFL to be be interviewed. So that is the latest. Brian Johnson, as Clint said, if you're wondering, number one on his list. I don't know if that's necessarily like a great thing, but number one on his list right now. So
yeah, number one on my list. I like where he's been from a quarterback development perspective. We're talking about Dak Prescott, Kyle Trask, that crazy Florida offense that went on down there. You're talking about Jalen Hurts in a couple of years where he turned the corner and the team made a run to the Super Bowl. You're talking about now Jaden Daniels. So I really like, from a quarterback development standpoint, I like the fact that he's been in several different offenses, Cliff Kingsbury, obviously Shane Steichens, Dan Mullins, at Florida and Mississippi State. So I like the fact that he's got a broad, experience in several different systems. He plays a quarterback at Baytown. He went to Robert E. Lee, so that's just where it all needs to start, to be honest with you. But he ended up at Utah and played at a young age. I think he was a 3-year starter up there, maybe even a 4-year starter up there. Left the program in better hands than when he took it over, kind of deal. Won some monster games up there. So anyway, you slice it. I mean, he is really, really, really good for the quarterback. And he tops the list for me of guys that have been interviewed to date for all the reasons I just gave you. And look, the stint where he was calling plays was in Philadelphia. My understanding of that situation is he was made the scapegoat. And that may have even been the source of the friction between the head coach and Jalen Hurts at one point in time. But so I don't know how much stock I put into the fact that they started 10-1 and ended up 11-6 in Philly. The wheels came off late for that football team. I don't know how much of that I blame on the offensive coordinator. I didn't study that the last seven games, or the last six games. So I maybe need to go back and do that now. But when it's all said and done, for me, Brian Johnson is at the top of the list of the coordinators that the Texans have interviewed to date. Still not the candidate, not the level of candidate that I thought the Texans would be pursuing.
Well, Let me break in for you. Here is another candidate.
Okay.
They have interviewed. Texans interviewing Vikings assistant offensive coordinator / assistant quarterback coach Grant Yudinski, per league sources.
Assistant quarterback coach?
Assistant offensive coordinator, assistant quarterbacks coach.
So he's assistants to an assistant.
I'm guessing he's probably assistant to Kevin O'Connell. I bet you Kevin O'Connell is maybe the OC. I'm trying here.
Then it would be he's the offensive coordinator then. Because Kevin O'Connell's the head coach.
Maybe Kevin's right? Giving himself head coach and OC.
Let me see. I'll let you know.
I'm trying. Damn. Grant Yudinski. The latest. Minnesota. Hey, they've had a great offense. What they did with Sam Darnold. As he worked with them. Please tell me he's assisting.
No, Wes Phillips is the offensive coordinator in the.
Okay.
Right. Well, I don't know. He was arrested. He got Wes. Oh, Wes, I stumbled on something here. Oh, Wes Phillips. He got arrested for misdemeanor DWI in 2023. They fire him after that.
Maybe. But that's the next one. I'll be honest. It's the first time I've heard of Grant. OGU. Grant Yudinski, first time I've heard of him, but he will be interviewed on Friday.
Wes made the cut. He got through the DWI situation. Wes is their OC.
Wes is their OC, so he's the assistant to him, an assistant quarterbacks coach.
And I think it's Wesley Wade Phillips. Is that Wade Phillips' son?
I don't know. Holding a lot there. That is the latest there. Also, held news. News before we get to Santiago's best bets. Alfred Shingun makes the All-Star team.
Hey, Houston fans. How
about that?
I am so happy.
About that. There you go. He is a reserve. He makes the All-Star team. And I'm going to assume this is his first one.
First one of many.
Many, huh? There we go. Makes this first All-Star team. So good for him. Look out for Amen Thompson. It feels like he's going to be a mainstay there as well. So that is the latest there. Good for Shingun as the Rockets will look to take on. We've lost Clint right now. It is becoming comical right now.
I mean, it's comical is the right way to put it. I mean, we're in the business of interviewing anybody in any system that is the Kubiak-Shanahan system.
And others.
The others. It's clearly an open search. I would like those guys to be mixed in. Like here's the deal. The Detroit Lions just hired as their passing game coordinator.
Yeah, Shaw, head coach at Stanford.
David Shaw. Yeah. I mean, and look, I'm gonna be honest with you. I mean, the Stanford offenses don't turn me on to the
team. He was a hot candidate at one point.
But I mean, that is a. You walk in the room, that everybody gonna know who that dude is. Like we're talking about the guy in Minnesota that's not even doesn't like it's an offensive mind, offensive play calling head coach, and he still doesn't have the OC title. I mean, he's buried in their system. He's got assistant in front of his name in two different roles. He's literally sitting. This dude is literally sitting in a room.
Coming up.
He is literally sitting in a room with an offensive coordinator. He's the assistant offensive coordinator.
Coming up.
I mean, what are we doing?
Area 45. Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, Byron on the ones and twos. Chris, hit us with your real quick with your best bets tonight.
All right, so my best bets for tonight are going to be Jalen Green over 22.5 points. Rockets money line. It's at plus money. No John Morant, you got to take that.
Yeah, that's especially getting that now, yeah.
Yeah, and then Paolo Banchero over 22.5 points. The last time he played against the Trailblazers, he had an off night. I think tonight he handles business.
That's still it.
And then Donovan Mitchell over 4.5 assists. Past three games, he's gone over this. And then I like the Magic spread.
Yeah, I like.
Five.
Yeah, I like the Jalen is pretty good one. That's low up. Banchero, that just seems like stealing right there.
Yeah.
Blazers, I don't get that one. That's interesting. All right. Well, I guess, Clint, you're ready for tomorrow. It's Grant Yudinski. So I wanted to – I promise to God, I was trying, Chris, I swear, for the last several days, I've been trying to, like, all right, know, maybe they have a plan, and this is a part of their plan. And when you get down to day,
you see, I thought the same thing when they were.
Get down to day four, Chris, and you get, as Clint so eloquently stated, a guy who has assisted in two different categories on the offense. Seems like he's real close to just offensive assistant as opposed to.
Not real close. It's in his title, not once, but twice. I mean, it's in both of his titles.
Well, at least guys that are just offensive assistant. He at least is assistant OC and assistant.
I mean, I just hope like hell when the hire's made, it's one of those that like, hey, man, there's three dudes that they interviewed as a head coach gig that are coming on the staff.
Yes, on the staff. That's got to be, right? It's got to be. Got to be. That's Clint Sterner. Great job today. Chris, great job. Tyler, have a good time. We'll be back tomorrow. I am Ron. The show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Shout out Santiago.